A62. Number 4B.
Now, we take that exercise under B1, which is synonyms reflecting synonyms. We come to the first blending. So perhaps I first make clear the terminology. Sometimes we call it reflecting, sometimes we call it combining, sometimes we call it blending. These terms mean the same. So if I change from time to time in my discussion those terms, you know that they mean the same. If we say a synonym blending with the other synonyms, it's the same as one synonym reflecting the others or combining with the others. Also, we could actually start out with first number 2 and then 3, 4 and then 1 according to the teacher who wants to introduce the subject. I say that so in the future when these syllabus classes are held by various students who are sitting here that they don't feel that this order of 1 to 4 is the only order one can really teach it. One could just as well start with number 2, then take 3, then 4, and then 1. Because actually it is a circle. Those four steps are a circle, and it all depends from which angle one presents it. I present it now, so as it is on the study material, going out from the concept of the one infinite, putting the concept of the one infinite through the prism of science, that thereby analyzing the infinite one into the first, the seven great synonymous terms, which are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Just as that, without asking right away, now, how can we define mind and spirit and soul and principle, and life, truth, and love? Just taking first a approximate sense of what one knows already about mind, and especially about what one knows about the noumenon counterfeit of the seven synonymous terms. I think everyone who gets the first touch of the seven synonymous terms also learns to know right away what is the counterfeit of those seven, especially as a noumenon counterfeit. Which means what? What would you think is the counterfeit, noumenon counterfeit of mind? Mortal mind, of spirit, matter, flesh, of soul, body or material sense, of principle, person or personal sense, or what is very important, theories, which is very much important for a science, that there are human theories, life, death, truth, error, and love, hate, and fear. These are more or less the great counterfeits that one learns in the very first few hours one is interested in Christian science, that these are the counterfeits. So, if we start out by the seven synonymous term, and now know, that is now the new step, now know that each synonymous term is in the first place defined through the other six synonymous terms. That's now the very first blending which we have to realize, so that each synonymous term is defined through the other six synonymous terms. And you can take any one of the seven and just see what it means when we see it blending with the other six. This is the first point, and we will now exercise just on that point. And see, again, what we are going to do is to take, naturally, our category A1, namely concept building. We first have to get the concept of what is implied in the B1. Is that clear? We just think it out. And how can we think it out? Here we have already an example how very much different the language of spirit is compared with the human language. In the human language, these seven synonymous terms are not synonymous. That's one big point. Because in the ordinary language, mind is not synonymous with spirit, and is not synonymous with soul, and is not synonymous with principle, and mind is certainly not synonymous with life, and is not synonymous with truth, and mind certainly is not synonymous with love in human language. So we have to learn that new language. And we cannot learn that new language, or I think the best way to learn it is to do it very systematically, in a more or less stereotyped way, to begin with. Later on, we lose the stereotyped way quite naturally. How did we learn arithmetic? Through the stereotyped way of going through the numeration table. Didn't we do that? One multiplied by 1, and then by 2, and then by 3, and then by 4, and so on. And so in that stereotyped way, we could learn it. And this we have to do, I guess, because our human mind is built that way, we have to do that too with the spiritual language. So we could say, and starting out and say, all right, we have that great statement in Mrs. Eddy on the top of everything, that God is mind, that God is spirit. Can you see just the definition of God as isness? Huh? God is mind, God is spirit, God is soul. That's our starting point. Is principle, life, truth, and love. If God is mind, and mind must be defined through the other synonymous term, then we have here that mind is only then mind when it is also spirit. Mind is only mind when it is also soul. So perhaps you write down for your exercise at home just this stereotyped way. You always only have to write down the first sentence, and then you know how to develop it and elaborate it. Huh? So in order for mind to be mind, mind must be spirit, mind must be soul, mind must be principle, mind must be life, mind must be truth, mind must be love. You can easily write that down in just a chart way. And so, in the same way, you can go through all the others. If God is spirit, what does it mean? Then, for spirit to be spirit, it must be mind. Spirit must be soul. Spirit must be principle. Spirit must be life. Spirit must be truth. Spirit must be love. Yes? And so with soul. So if you make good notes, you have written down just the fundamental statement, and then with details, you can just elaborate on the 7x7. Yes. Now, at that point, we will have to ask, what are we going to do with these stereotyped statements? And so we come to concept building, where we investigate these statements. And we'll do that together. We'll start with mind, and do mind through the six, just with that global tone of the seven synonymous term, and their counterfeit, with their noumenon counterfeit, perhaps in the most cases, and ask ourselves the following question. Perhaps you write that down as a statement that applies then to all the seven synonymous term. What would be mind? What would be mind? Perhaps we put it the other way. What would be missing? What would be missing if mind would not be? And then vertically you can write spirit, and then under spirit soul, and under soul principle, life, truth, and love. Do you have the chart? What would be missing if mind would not be spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? That's our great question now. Because if we can answer this question, we certainly build up in consciousness a much vaster sense of what mind is. In this way, we really define in a bigger way what mind is. So let's take this charted, or put in chart form, these statements, and ask ourselves now, what would be missing if mind would not be spirit? What kind of mind would we have if it would not be spirit? Now I must ask you to speak loud, because else we don't get it on the tapes. And also because the whole class will not get it. We did a very good job last year by always asking the students to speak out loud and distinct, and the taping was quite good, considering the way we tape it. So, once again, what would be missing if mind would not be spirit, and knowing at the first moment very little about spirit, but just the counterfeit, the big noumenon counterfeit? Let's try it out that way. Yes? Therefore, mind would be a material mind. We still would have mind. Yes? But it would be material mind. A fleshly mind, like the brain. That's a fleshly mind. So we see how important it is that when we think about mind, we at once somehow think that mind must be also spirit, or we are in the same category as the whole world that also speaks about mind and understands on the mind, that mind which is in the brain. It's a fleshly mind, a material mind. Yes? Is that clear? What would it be if we had a mind when soul would be missing? Would be a changeable mind? A physical mind, a corporeal mind. That's more or less the big counterfeit, or the noumenon counterfeit of soul. We would have a physical or corporeal mind, a sinful mind, because sin is also one of those big counterfeits of soul. Can you see, we would at once have a sinful mind. Can you see how important this is? Because the world will be going to talk to the world for the next 10, 20 years all about these things, because the world is now getting interested in metaphysical problems, and they will speak about mind, but they have, and they speak about mind, and we should be very careful not to say, oh, they are approaching the subject of Christian Science, they are now also talking about mind, and that mind is a reality. But is it for them so, sinless? That's a great question mark. It will not be. They still are thinking about a mind that can sin, isn't it? You see? So for us, we see it as mind must be soul to be mind, therefore always sinless, incorporeal. What would be missing if mind would not be principle? Sorry, human theories, huh? Terrific. Huh? What is today going on in the world? That the whole world runs on human theories conceived by mind, and we can see that this is not the divine mind. Though they speak about mind, it will not be the mind of the spiritual language. It will be a mind that has human theories, human doctrines, human opinions, whereas for us, mind, to be mind, must be a principle, which means naturally that it is self-operative. That the mind of God, because it is principle, is a self-operative mind. What would be missing if mind would not be life?
Mind would be impermanent.
Mind would be impermanent. See, you would have a mind that starts somewhere when we are born and then somewhere when we pass out. And that's the end of mind. It would not have been that permanency of mind, which put into a negative would just say that mind could die. As life says that mind is infinitely permanent, eternal. Only that, therefore, can be considered as mind, which has no beginning and no ending. And one can quite conceive now that the mind about which we talk has nothing to do with our mind that came into being through birth and is ending through our death. What would be mind if it would not be truth? Or I can once ask another question. Does the world consider that mind is always true? That what's going on in mind is always true? No, not at all. Can you see? The world's language says a mind can be wrong. A mind can lie. A mind can be mistaken. Do you see that? Therefore, we have to see that mind must also be truth, which means that only then is mind actually mind with a capital M, if it is also truth, namely never erroneous, never can err, never can mistake, never can lie. Yes, that's the mind we adore. If we go to the next one and would ask what would be missing if mind would not be love?
Just what we have, inharmony, confusion.
Confusion. Has confusion anything to do with love?
No.
Oh, huh? Uh-huh. The sin. You see, it would never fulfill itself, huh? It would be unfulfilled, huh? Or put it into a negative. Yeah, that's about both ways we can put it, huh? Therefore, that mind of which we speak in Christian Science is always that mind which conceives only that which has its own fulfillment, has a built-in program and built-in plan of fulfillment. Can we say that of the world's concept of mind, that what is conceived in the mind has always a fulfillment? Not at all. Huh? Not at all. It's a hell of a struggle, huh, for the human mind to fulfill itself. And usually it shouldn't, huh? Because it's anyway wrong. Huh? Isn't it? Can you see only with this little exercise, very stereotyped. Stereotyped is very good for training, for culturing, you see. That's how the soldiers are trained. Huh? They are trained in a stereotyped way until finally it's a reflex movement. And for us, we should do that drilling until it becomes a reflex consciousness, where we just know when you speak about mind, somehow the whole realm opens up and says, yes, that mind, huh, because it is spirit, is always spiritual, never material. That mind, because it is soul, is always unchangeable, sinless. That mind, which is principle, is always a mind that is self-operative principle, has nothing to do with theories. That mind, which is life, is eternal, indestructible, has no end, cannot die away, has no beginning, has no end. It is a mind that is from everlasting to everlasting. That mind of which we speak is truth, and therefore never errs, never errs, never mistakes. And therefore, because that mind is love, it will always fulfill the plan of mind. That which mind has conceived will always strive to that complete fulfillment in the plane of love. Isn't that? Huh? Do you see how it is different if we just speak and say, oh yes, you know, dear, God is mind, you know, God is mind. Uh-huh. So what is it? We don't, you see, it's not defined. It's not clearly defined, huh? Clearly put. Huh? You have to go somehow, you have to let it reflect through the other six. Now, when I ask this question for the first time here, I got quite a lot of different answers. When I ask what would be mind, or what would be missing if mind would not be spirit, can't quite remember what the answers were, besides material. There were other answers. What were they? I can't quite remember. What did you say, Bill? I can't remember. Wasn't it you?
Muddled,
huh? Would be muddled instead of ordered, huh? If it would not be spirit, it would be muddled, out of order, disordered, which is an idea of spirit. Huh? Therefore, naturally you can see that going through this exercise, we can actually take in practically any idea of the synonymous terms. Which naturally would mean, and that's the point, which naturally would mean that we would be already aware of the syllabus here, B2, where we know all the ideas of the same and synonymous term. Now, as we have done really last year, the seventh synonymous term, we can expect that we know it today, and therefore could actually elaborate on this exercise rather extensively. We could elaborate it because I said perhaps the very first simple exercise is to take the noumenon counterfeit. That's where we set in a second time, and said, let's take in the noumenon counterfeit, and then we did it. by saying mind is only then mind when it is also spirit, therefore not matter or flesh. Mind is only then mind when it reflects soul and therefore is not corporeal. Can you see? These are the counterfeit noumenons. Mind is only mind when it reflects principle and therefore not human theories. Mind is only mind when it reflects life and therefore is never subject to death or decay. Mind is only then mind when it reflects truth and therefore it has never any erroneous sense in it. Mind is only then mind when it reflects love and therefore has no fear in it. No, and here you see how it is much better to take in a positive sense, because mind and fear, well, it's also nice. Huh? Only that mind which never fears, huh, is actually mind. A mind that never hates, huh, is only a mind. Yes? And so, first perhaps you do this by taking in just the noumenon counterfeits, but then, in a second go, you can elaborate that through much more ideas and counterfeits of each synonymous term. Yes, we change here.